What's up, Shmodown fans? Welcome back to another episode of Beyond the Shmodown. I'm Star Wars competitor Andrew DiMolanta.
And I am Nikki DiMolanta.
Three matches to go over this week. Big matches. And I think the one thing that's different about this one is usually with live events,
yeah,
we let the week go by and then do it. But I think we're going to do, we have to do this.
Yeah, because next week is the next match.
Next week is the next live match. And
you don't want to get behind.
And we would only talk about one match if we weren't win for this. So we got to stay ahead of the curve.
So if you haven't seen it, maybe tune in later.
Yeah, we'll go over the IGU match first.
Yeah.
So you'll have something to listen to. Yeah. But if you haven't seen the live event, then whoops.
So, either come back later or you're going to know the outcome by the end of this.
So let's go ahead and
careful.
careful with the spoilers.
Yeah.
And there'll be little tickers at the bottom, little graphic saying which match we're talking about.
Yeah, so you'll know.
But
if you need to switch off or something.
So, but you're all safe and good for this one because we're going over the IG match first.
Yes, we got the big, Corruption Invitational, as it was called. So, Mike the Killer Kalinowski versus Chance the Cobra Ellison.
And I felt bad that we didn't hype this match up last week because we were so excited to have the Daemons on, and it turned into just like, hey, it's just us hanging out in a digital chat.
Yeah.
So, I think before this, you had picked.
I picked Mike.
Mike?
Yeah.
I think I picked Mike too. I think both picked Mike to win.
Yeah. Oh, I don't know.
I'm not sure.
I picked Mike.
But regardless.
Yeah. Regardless. So, Mike versus Chance, both representing Corruption. Mm. Round one. Mike missed three. Chance missed two. Mike missed a question about Star Wars, about General Hux, some Harry Potter question, and then who is Xerxes' dad in 300 Rise of an Empire. Mm-hmm. Chance missed the same Harry Potter question, the same 300 question.
Yeah.
So by the end of round one, it was 7-8.
No perfect rounds. And this is surprising because it's like they're very relaxed.
Yeah. And I definitely saw some comments in different outlets of people that were like, it just didn't have the same like competitive edge that you see in, other matches that aren't between faction mates or whatever. Mm-hmm. And they're, I don't know.
Yeah. And
not that I think that.
They were like just
they
weren't
taking it seriously, but it did have a bit of a more casual feel.
Yeah, it felt like an exhibition during the first
match.
And I was surprised that both of them didn't go perfectly. I think Mike didn't. This is the first time Mike hasn't gone perfect in the tournament, I think.
Mm.
And Chance, I know for sure that he went perfect. I'm pretty sure. I don't know. It's just there's so much going.
I don't remember anything.
But like I remember.
Don't remember what happened yesterday.
Yeah. Quarantine. Corona. Thank you, Corona.
I don't know anything.
But I was surprised about this first round outcome.
Yeah, especially since, the next match you have is for the belt.
Yeah.
It is what it is.
Yeah.
Some days you just get questions you don't know.
Yeah.
And this just might have been one of those days. And the next match they get, they might know them all.
Yeah.
So you never know. It just might have been one of those days. Mm-hmm. So, I'm just saying what I observed in social media.
Yeah.
So round two, Chance goes first. He got DC. He went to multiple choice twice and he got both of them. Mike gets MCU. Mm-hmm. He had a big old 2-point miss where it was what college did Christine Everhart say she went to and which Iron Man?
And the first Iron Man.
The first Iron Man.
He says Brown. No, he says Berkeley.
He says Berkeley, but it was Brown. And Chance stole it.
Yeah.
And then he went to multiple choice another time, and he got it. So by the end of round two, it was 14-18 in favor of Chance. Oh, right. This is a five-rounder.
It's a five-rounder. People are like, it's over at this point.
Oh,
it's like,
dude,
seriously.
Everybody was like, oh, no, it's over. It's totally over.
It's a five-rounder. Calm down.
We still got a betting round and a speed round.
And with Mike Kalinowski.
With Mike Kalinowski. So round three, betting round.
Mm-hmm.
Chance spins opponent's choice, and Mike decides to go with Star Trek. Not surprisingly, Mike bets three. Chance only bet one. They both got it right, so it kind of brought it a little bit more even. It was 17-19.
Chance playing cautious. Not want to...
Smart.
Yeah.
He got it right, but...
I just always had that mindset of like, 3 points. Bet 3 points, because...
Yeah.
You have to.
Well, yeah, that's Star Wars.
Yeah.
But, yeah, it kind of made it a little bit more even. 17-19, close that gap a little bit.
Yeah.
Going into round four, the new speed round... You know?
Yeah.
It happened.
It happens.
So Chance missed two, passed on two.
Mm-hmm.
Mike missed one. And I don't think he passed on any.
He didn't pass on any. He missed one.
And it was a Superman 2 release date.
Yeah.
It was.
This was epic by Mike.
Oh my God. Mike is really good.
This is championship level play. I mean, former two-time Intercontinental champion.
Yeah.
Former Team Spell champion.
I would expect no different.
He knocked it out of the park. I was like, okay, there's Mike.
Was that one question where the question specifically said domestically?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. There's people talking about, like, well,
I feel like there was some kind of debate going back and forth, but it's like the fact that it said domestically and not just said the release date.
Yeah,
you know, I don't know release dates.
And I was talking to you about this because I have issues with this speed round with the human error and what if Christian or whoever's
are kinks to work out.
Yeah, like whoever's reading the questions might stumble a bit here and there. It's thankfully it didn't cost them that much,
mm-hmm.
but. I think I'm throwing out a suggestion. I talked to you about this, like, because it's on a document and he has to come back and look for the question that he passes on. So I would argue to write the questions on a card and then put it down in a done pile or a pass pile, or not even a pass pile. Just flip it around and put it back in your hand. And if they answer the question, put it down on the desk and just keep flipping the cards until they get it. So that night, since now you're not searching for the question, that's my suggestion. I know Christian listens to the show, so that's just one thing. Because then it's hard to go back in the document. Like, which one did he pass on?
It is, because we've done exercises like that, mm-hmm. and I have an electronic document. I'm assuming that's along the lines of what they're using.
Mm-hmm.
And it is hard to keep track of, like, which line do I go back to, you know, unless you got... I mean, mm-hmm. I don't know. I don't know what the system they use is, but it is hard to mm-hmm. be like, oh, which question was it? Especially if there's multiple passes.
Yeah.
You know, there's a lot going on. It's high pressure.
Yeah.
So that's an interesting suggestion. Mm-hmm. I remember when you told me that, I was like, yeah.
Yeah, because it's easy. Because I was always saying, like, put one in a discard, put one in a repeat. It's
put it at the end.
Just put it back on your end, because by the end time you're reading all the questions.
Yeah.
Oh, there it is again. So,
that could help with going back to questions.
Yeah, because there was a one when Mike went and he's like, and we're going back to, and people were like, Christian, what are you doing? I would argue that he was just trying to look for the question.
Of course he was.
He's just filling the air.
Yeah.
So
of course he was.
That's my suggestion. I think it would help out a lot just for that.
I mean, it was only the second time this is the new digital virtual speedrun has happened.
Yeah.
So nothing's going to be perfect.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the first or second time, mm-hmm. there's always lessons to be learned. So,
yeah, and it went a lot better this time around, I would argue.
Yeah.
With the speed round.
Yeah.
So,
always going to be making improvements.
Yeah. Yeah. I think that's good.
At the end of round four, it was 23-25 in favor of Mike now. So it kind of ping pong back and forth.
Ain't coming back, man.
It's over after round two.
It's like, dude, come on.
Not in a five rounder and not with Mike Kalinowski.
Yeah.
In Intergeekdom or otherwise.
Yeah.
So round five, Chance goes first. His two pointer, Chance, Indiana Jones, the Temple of Doom release date. He got it.
Mm-hmm.
Mike, he gets DC for his two-pointer. The last name of Robert Wool's character in Batman, he got it. Not surprising.
Mm.
Three-pointer for Chance, he gets mixed bag.
Woof.
X-Men Last Stand, the name of the lab responsible for the mutant cure.
This is a really good pull. I was like, wow, that's a three-pointer?
That was... I seen Last Stand? Oh my god!
You don't have to. It's a terrible movie.
Oh, maybe I didn't.
It's a terrible movie.
Maybe I didn't see it.
It's so bad.
Yeah, no. I remember seeing Days of Future Past, and that was really good. I enjoyed that.
Oh, that's probably that's top for X-Men movies. Yeah. It's probably my second favorite.
Maybe I didn't see that one that the question was about.
Yeah, because Logan's my number one for X-Men.
And that one's pretty good.
I think Days of Future Past followed by. I would say either X2 or First Class is my third.
Oh, I liked First Class.
First Class is really good too.
I really like that one too.
Yeah.
I couldn't tell you what happened in either one. I know there's one of them where like the young mutants are like, it's almost like they're living in a dorm together and they like destroy things
First Class.
Because they don't know how to control themselves.
That's First Class.
Yeah. That's all I can tell you about that movie.
Wait, live in a dorm room and they can't control themselves?
Well, it was, they were like all in, they were all like just chilling and it felt very dormy. It wasn't a
dorm. Oh, yeah, they're giving each other nicknames and they're tearing up the room.
That one.
Yeah, that's very First Class.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And there was another one with the Ice Girl and Footloose Guy. Kevin Bacon.
That was first class as well.
Oh, okay.
I mean, Miss Frost.
Yes.
She turns to diamond, not ice.
Oh. Oh. Whoops. Thought she was ice. And then he kills somebody with a quarter. Name like
Frost, you'd assume.
Yeah, but she turns to diamond. Oh, I'm the idiot here. Way to name somebody that's diamond. Way to name him Frost. Well, I guess you can say my diamonds are like people say icy and whatever. Stupid name for a diamond. Stupid. Am I right, ladies? So, three-pointer for Mike. He gets the Wizarding World. The title of... I don't know what I was trying to type here because I obviously got auto-corrected. But the title of somebody Lockhart's autobiography, and he got it.
Oof.
It. I don't know what the name was, but I got auto-corrected to Holder of Lockhart's. Who knows what I was going for? Harry Potter, all you Potterheads out there, let me know.
Yeah.
Five-pointer for Chance. Marvel Films. He got Venom. The full name of the company that discovers a comet with a symbiotic life forms on it.
Another company title. And this one's even harder to remember, I think.
And he got it. And I feel like, if I remember correctly, he got this one, like, with some ease.
Yeah.
So, like, good job.
Good job.
You're really crushing it. Five-pointer from Mike. Middle Earth.
Mm. Woof. Woof. God, he gets two tough categories.
Yeah. Fellowship of the Ring. The nearest crossing of the ferry... The hobbits used to evade the ringwraiths. He missed it.
Yeah. He said something, and he wasn't
said,
correct.
Oh, this is the, I think it was kind of like, oh, this is
the only thing that's popping into his head.
The area name I can think of, and mm-hmm. it wasn't it.
And
so 30-33 in favor of Chance. So now Chance will face the winner of Chandru
B. Smets. And would we classify this as an upset? I mean, I would. I kind of would.
I would.
At this point, maybe not.
Maybe not. You could, in the respect that...
It's Mike Kalinowski.
Yeah. I'm not sure I'd really call it an upset because Chance is a former champion as well.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. I feel like when you've ascended to the ranks of champion or former champion, you don't really upset people anymore. They upset you.
That's true, too.
So I'm not really sure that I would. And I also saw somebody at one point, I don't know if we talked about this previously, but like talking about Chance beating Robert Parker, and they're like, oh, that's an upset. And then somebody in like the Facebook group or whatever was like, no, don't devalue it. Don't insult Chance by calling it an upset, because that would mean that you think that Chance is like the worst player.
Yeah.
So I don't know. I don't know that I could see people making the argument because it's Mike Kalinowski.
Yeah.
But I don't think I consider it an upset because... Mm-hmm. Chance is no slouch.
Yeah, and Chance has a really good, like,
not
look
that
at,
if you win you upset somebody, you're a slouch.
Yeah, but like, look at Chance's run through this tournament.
Yeah,
Paul Oyama, former singles champion, mm-hmm. youngest singles champion of, but Grant is in a different division, but yeah, it's still that
there.
that title gives you some clout in any division. Look at Alex Damon.
Mm-hmm.
Then he goes up against Robert Parker,
mm-hmm.
the new golden boy.
Yeah, the tournament darling.
Yeah,
of IG.
Everybody's expecting him to go to the final, and Parker doesn't perform in that match.
Just, it wasn't
for
his
whatever
day.
Yeah, for whatever reason, it just wasn't his day. Didn't get the questions, and then he beats Barbarian, who we have said that he is a monster.
Trivia. He is.
And he is. And like, again, IG wasn't his thing. He's like, I'm just going to go ahead and do it because I know I can do it. And he did really well.
Mm-hmm.
But then he just ran into Chance on a good day.
Yeah.
And then he goes up against his teammate with Mike Kalinowski. And we know what Mike can do in this division. Like, we've said it before.
Mike is a beast in IG.
We've said it before. Mike is the reason the IG is the way it is now.
Yeah.
But like, whoever's writing the story, whatever. But like,
yeah.
Even with that, Mike was lights out in the IG.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, you can argue that it wasn't really Mike because of storylines or whatever, but he backed it up to where it was like, all right, I can buy into it that it was mm-hmm. Mike.
Yeah.
he's a beast.
Mm-hmm.
He is like an absolute Mount Rushmore of the IG division. Mm-hmm. So I don't think I consider it an upset just because I don't think Chance is like
a slouch. Yeah.
Yeah.
And he's proven it with this tournament run.
Yeah. I could see people making the argument just because it's Mike, but mm-hmm. I don't think I'd call it an upset. I just think it was, you know, I don't even know who was the favorite. I don't know if there was a poll or there was probably a poll.
Probably Mike was probably the favorite.
I would assume Mike was probably the favorite.
Yeah.
Maybe not by a lot. It was probably close, mm-hmm. but I don't think I'd call it a big upset.
Yeah, but we both said we had Mike because it's like, Mike, how do you bet against Mike? But yeah, like,
I feel like the odds were probably in his favor. And it's
weird too because they both didn't perform the way I thought they would because they both had misses in the first.
Yeah, multiple
choices in the second. Mm-hmm. And then Mike misses his, I mean, missing a five when if you miss a two, maybe it's like, oh man, that wasn't great. But if you miss a five, it's like, you can't blame anybody for missing a five.
Yeah.
You know, it's happened to me twice. Yeah. So, but, so the winner of this goes against Chandru or Smits. Do we see Chance beating either of those? Because
I don't know. It's so hard to say because I feel like we've talked about this a little bit. Mm-hmm. It's been so long since we've seen Chance and Chandru and IG. Mm-hmm. Same for Kevin. Same for Smets.
Yeah.
So, I mean, I feel like Smets has a little bit of that extra edge because he's got the belt on his shoulder. Waist, wherever you want to wear the belt. But I just like...
he wears around his waist in his promo. That promo that they released earlier.
But, you know, Chandru, we haven't seen him in a while. Mm-hmm. I feel like my gut reaction, which is unfounded because, mm-hmm. like I said, we haven't seen them in a long time. My gut tells me that Chance has a better possibility of contending with Chandru.
Yeah.
And I feel like going against Smets might be...
Yeah.
I mean, he's got the belt.
Yeah, but not only that, but like Smets has competed in 3 exhibitions, mm-hmm. and he didn't, and I'm not going to spoil for those who haven't seen them. He won 2 of them and lost 1.
Mm.
So
I mean, that's kind of spoiling.
I didn't say which ones.
That's kind of spoiling.
Sorry, but like even though so like he's been in matches leading up to this, so he's a little bit fresher, and we know how ungodly beastly Smets is in IG.
Yeah.
So
that's what I'm saying. I mean, I'm not trying to say Chandru's not good or whatever. It's just it's been a while. So what recency bias that we always talk about.
Yeah, and we'll probably give our prediction on Chance and this new whoever wins next week.
Yeah.
When that week comes, but based off of this match.
Based off of this one match, you know, it's kind of like, ooh.
Yeah.
Not that they did poorly, but it's like, that was the finals.
And it was a 5-rounder.
Mm-hmm. And we got a couple misses in round one. Mm-hmm. I feel like once in any division, once you start going up against the champ and you start missing multiple questions in round one, it's kind of like, less forgiving. Ooh, no.
Yeah.
You know, once you go into a title match, usually it's like, one or none misses in round one, usually.
Usually. Especially for the IG and Star Wars.
Especially for IG and Star Wars. So, you know, but then again, maybe maybe Mike and Chance, maybe it was just because they were relaxed or whatever. I don't know. Maybe it was because they were going against each other.
And Chance did fantastic in his matches leading up to this. So
exactly. So who knows? Mm-hmm. Maybe it was just a day that they hit a couple blind spots really mm-hmm. hard. Maybe it was the fact that they did feel relaxed. Who knows? Mm-hmm. Because we all know that one day you can miss a question and then the next day you can go flawless.
Yeah.
So you never really know. Yeah. And you cannot base somebody's performance off of one match. Exactly. That's not fair. So if you're going to say, oh, based off of this match, no, they don't have a shot. That's not fair mm-hmm. because, I mean, look at their past.
Yeah.
They obviously know what they're doing and they obviously have proven their worth. So I don't really think it's fair to say based off of this match. Mm-hmm. But...
Yeah,
so. I don't know. My gut tells me that Chance and Chandru would be
competitive,
more competitive. And I feel like, you know, Chance going against Smets, I'm going to favor Smets.
Yeah.
None. I mean, absolutely no disrespect against Chance because he's one of the most dangerous competitors in the league right now.
Oh, absolutely.
In 3 divisions. Yeah. So can't sleep on him either. Mm-hmm. But just because you don't pick somebody, it doesn't mean you're sleeping on them. You gotta pick. You can't pick both. So you know, you're obviously not gonna pick one.
Now that the Star Wars and IG tournaments are, the story of these two tournaments is the Cinderella story.
Yeah, it's true.
Yeah, because nobody had Chance in the final, and nobody mm-hmm. had Ace in the final, and yeah, bet off of that too, nobody had them winning the finals.
Mm-hmm. So it's going to be very interesting to see Spectacular and see if anyone completes the tale. Mm-hmm. Anyone puts on that glass slipper, you know what I mean? Or if they ride home in a pumpkin. Didn't somebody make that analogy?
Something like that. I think it was Barbarian.
Oh, yeah. I think it might have been him.
Get home before midnight.
Yeah. Otherwise, you going home in a soggy, I almost said a bad word. I almost said a soggy beet pumpkin. Ooh, whoops.
Family friendly, ladies and gentlemen. Family friendly.
Ooh, a soggy little pumpkin.
All right, so yeah, that was the conclusion of the IG final, and it was a great tournament. These past two tournaments have been fantastic.
I mean, are you not impressed? If you haven't, are you not impressed?
Are you not entertained?
Entertained. That's what it is. That's why I don't compete. But, you know, if you haven't been entertained.
Are you not impressed?
Are you not impressed? If you haven't been entertained or impressed by Star Wars or inner geekdom, it's like, bro, what are you watching?
Yeah, what are you doing?
These have been some nail-biter tournaments.
And what these tournaments and the exhibitions have proven, digital works.
Digital does work.
Absolutely works. And Christian has said Star Wars is coming back next year. And probably guaranteed it's going to be digital because...
You know your current champion lives in an out of state.
And three of your top competitors live out of state.
Exactly.
So,
you know, it's unfortunate that this is what Christian's been forced into doing, but it's also a blessing in disguise because look at these avenues that have been opened up.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, mm-hmm. like I always say, make your lemonade out of your lemons. Mm, so, exactly. And I feel like it's just some sweet lemonade. Yeah,
and personally, as you know, somebody that lives out of California, yes, digital.
Somebody who doesn't want to be flying right now.
Yeah, so. Somebody who doesn't want to spend $1 million trying to fly back and forth to compete.
We'll be back.
It's a blessing in disguise because we would have had to fly out for like one match.
Yeah.
Or two, and we'd have to stay longer.
Yeah.
That would have been. I'm actually glad we were.
Yeah. I wouldn't want to be flying right now. Mm-hmm. Although, I did want to go to Celebration, which is less than a month away, or would have been RIP. RIP Celebration.
Anyways, let's move on to the Throwdown.
Okay, so here's where, if you haven't seen the Throwdown that went live on Friday, the 31st of July. If you haven't seen the Throwdown, we're going to talk about it. So here's your chance to switch off and come back. I know, it's August.
Where is the... Thanks, Corona.
Where's the time going? Who's got the time? Where's it going? Like, my God.
I've been watching a lot of Brooklyn Nine-Nine lately.
Who's got the time? But yeah, it's already August, my dudes. So it's pretty weird and crazy. But yeah, no, here's your opportunity. If you haven't seen the Throwdown that premiered on July 31st.
Pause it. Mute us.
Pause this right now.
Mute us. Let the video play through.
Hand gestures so we can still entertain you.
You'll see the little like topic there down below.
Yeah.
But leave the video playing. Give us some watch time.
Get us some watch time. Be a bro. But if you don't want to know the outcomes, here's your chance. Spoiler warning.
It has been issued. Showdown Throwdown, the undercard for the Throwdown.
Final, it was a teams match.
Mm-hmm.
Final Exam versus Deep 13. Final Exam is, of course, Lon Harris, mm-hmm. Paulo Yama, representing Swag. Deep 13 is Alonzo Duralde and Whitney Seibold, representing the Burning Droogs.
And this is interesting because I was wondering, how in the world do you do teams matches over digital? Because like you live in, unless you're like us, because if we ever do that Damon versus DeMolanta's team's Star Wars match, we can do it digitally.
We can just be like, hey baby, you think it's a Han Solo?
Yeah, it's a Han or Luke, I don't know. And the same with the Damons. They can, that's possible.
But when you're, you know, Lon and Oyama, someone's in Hawaii and somebody's in California.
Yeah, that's a great point. Yeah. He's all the way in Hawaii.
Yeah.
So I was curious, but we'll get
probably a different time zone, I would wager.
Yeah, and it worked out. It
worked out great.
Very well.
And there was one thing that got clarified later in the match that we'll get to.
Yeah, we'll get to it.
But, and that's the beauty of mm-hmm. doing these matches, because you learn, you live, you learn.
You
and
get
then
loves.
He loves. So Final Exam, D13, Swag, Droogs. Let's go. Mm-hmm. So, round one. I didn't take notes on like who missed what, because that would have just been a lot with teams. So at the end of round one, it was 13-14 in favor of final exam.
Yeah, I think everybody, Aoyama was the only one that got the first question and everybody else missed. And then Lon and the two position missed a couple more. Paul missed another one here and there. So they could have gone up really quick. I feel
like Paul might have missed like one question. It was like the last question, right?
Yeah, because he could have got a perfect round.
Yeah.
And they were down by, what was the score?
13-14.
14, yeah.
I think Paul missed the last question, which is heartbreaking. But you know what? They're still up by one.
Yeah, and Deep 13, I've said it before, is one of those teams where it's like just raw knowledge.
Oh, yeah.
People that are complaining.
You want to talk about natural knowledge and not having to study, go talk to Deep 13 because, wow.
Yeah.
And they know, like, weird stuff. Like,
Festival Darlings
is what we're going to get into here.
Get into next. So, round two.
Round two. Deep 13 goes first. And they get Festival Darlings.
And we have to talk about how they handled.
That's the next... For final exam. So Deep 13 got just how they do it in general.
So the way they handled the teams, because usually in teams it's like you just talk and like
you confer.
Right. So over digital you can't do that. So what they did was almost exactly like they do the speed rounds for everything, which is gonna be weird for the speed round for teams.
They do a speed round for teams?
Yeah, for title matches. And for the tournament, that's going to be interesting.
I feel like it's been so long.
And I wonder how they're going to handle that. But anyways.
Right. It's been so long.
That's another hiccup. But anyways.
I'm sure they're thinking about it.
So what they do is the team that is answering the questions, the other team gets thrown out of the room, much like the speed rounds.
Yeah.
And if they miss anything, they take a note of it. And then when they bring the teams back, then they're going to ask them those questions. So those are the opportunities. So if they go to the multiple choice, they take a note of it. And then I think, and that's, I was like, I didn't even think of
no,
to do
it's
that
so
at
simple,
all.
But it's so brilliant.
Yeah, so simple. Like, wow. Dan, simple answers are the ones that you go with.
Yep.
So that
gotta make it complicated.
Like I give Christian, whoever made this decision, who brought this idea up, give him all the credit in the world, because it works.
It's so simple but so perfect.
It works so well.
Yeah.
And I was like, wow, but the one thing I don't like about this is that you get to hear the banter between the teammates.
That's the only downside because you don't want to. I'm not sure what strategy there is to give away when you're just talking about possible answers, but you might expose weaknesses. You might expose maybe how you communicate with each other.
Exactly.
I don't know.
Chemistry and things like that. That's the one thing about these digital matches that I'm like, ugh.
And then it's
changed.
Also kind of like, oh, if one person's really, you know, picking up the slack and the other person's not really, then it's going to be kind of on display. But
because we've seen that before, we just saw them play Chance and Mike. People would say, oh, Mike is carrying him right now, or Chance is carrying him.
Yeah, there was
a
point in time when that was the
because, like, one person
topic.
Was answering the questions, but now we fully get to see the discussion between them. It's like, okay, so he absolutely didn't know that answer, and he did.
Right.
So that's the one thing about this digital thing that I'm not, like, the biggest fan of.
But that's what you got.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't know what other solution there is, and I think this might be one of the best solutions.
And it is. It's like we get to see teams again.
Mm-hmm.
I'm so happy for that. Thank goodness. Like, it is because it gives away strategy, it gives away chemistry between the players, and also it lessens the drama a bit, the tension.
Yeah.
Because you know.
Oh, do they have it?
Do they have it? Do they not have it? Or are they just playing it up? It's like, now we know full well if they know it or not.
Mm-hmm.
So.
But. I'm just glad that we still have Schmodown.
Yeah, but the pros far outweigh the cons in this.
Oh, yeah.
So,
I'll take it.
It is what it is, even though you don't like that
phrase. I hate that reference, but I hate that phrase, but I say it all the time.
All the time on the show.
So dumb. It's such a stupid phrase, but it makes sense. You know what I'm saying?
It does.
Stupid.
So
there it is.
So there's their round two.
So round two. D13 got Festival Darlings.
And this is, they got it last time, but it was given to them that time.
It was. And that was a big drama thing, you know.
It was the Paul and Tom team. Paul and Tom.
Tom and Paul?
Tom and Paul.
Yeah, Tom and Paul. Yeah.
Tom and Paul.
Yeah.
Yeah, from
From the Den.
Yeah, the Den.
So they only went to multiple choice one time and they got it right. So
they went to multiple choice once?
Yeah.
I think they got it perfect.
No, I think it was their last question. They went to multiple choice.
Really?
I believe so.
Where was I?
I don't know. Unless I blacked out and typed something while I was unconscious.
I guess.
But I think they went to multiple choice on the last question and they got it right. Final exam.
They did go perfect, sorry.
Spinner's choice.
Mm-hmm.
They picked Adam Sandler.
That's curious.
And then we'll see how they did. But they did Adam Sandler. And then Christian was kind of like, okay, so this is how it's going to go.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
Well, since they've already gone. There's no sense in dropping them out. And if there's a steal opportunity, we'll bring them right in.
Yeah, just Paul speed up the process.
Oyama kind of made a face. Mm-hmm. And Christian was like, no, no, it's okay. It's because of such and such.
Yeah, because they already went and
right.
There's no point in dropping them out.
It's not like they're going to get an advantage from here. Mm-hmm. They've already heard the questions.
Yeah.
But Winston, I don't know if Winston picked up on Paul's reaction or if it was already in Winston's brain or a little of both. I don't mm-hmm. know. Either way, fantastic move that Winston jumps in and goes,
this is, yeah.
No, they need to be dropped out. Because if they're going to be brought right in for a steal opportunity, what if these two are going back and forth and they're like, well, I think it's this or this. And they say this, clues. But it's actually that.
Yeah.
And now the other team has the opportunity to steal and they're right there listening to it.
So basically the other team does a lot of the like grunt work for them. It's like, oh, exactly. There's the answer.
Because if just like Winston said, which was perfect, if you're in the studio, it doesn't matter who goes first or second. You're still not going to hear what we're saying when we're conferring.
Yeah.
So it's not right that the first team doesn't get to hear the conferring, but the second team does just because they know the questions already.
Yeah.
So I think that was a fantastic catch.
Oh, that was fantastic
Winston and Paul established the way that teams are going to be in round two moving forward. I think that's going to be a precedent.
Yeah. It should be. And because it's the right call.
It's the perfectly right call. I'm so glad that, I don't know if it was Paul's face that he made or Winston or both, whatever, but it was great.
Yeah, that was a great move. Could you imagine if that actually did happen?
Because then it would be a big old point of controversy. Oh, yeah. Well, you know, they were going back and forth and they just picked the other one that, you know.
Yeah.
So I'm glad they
right move. And I, Winston just shows how well he knows the game and how well he can pick up on small things.
Yeah.
So
he's tuned in.
Yeah, he's really, really, really tuned in.
That was sharp. That was real good. Mm-hmm. So they got Adam Sandler. They crushed it. They got a perfect round two. So at the end of round two, it was 24-26 in favor of Final Exam.
Still a close match. Only 2 points.
2 points. Mm-hmm. Round three, 2 points for Deep 13. They got 2010s, went to Whitney. Mm-hmm. 2014, some ensemble film with Ralph Fiennes. He missed it. Stays with Deep 13 for the 3 point. For Angelina Jolie, goes to Alonzo. Some actress in 1999's Girl Interrupted. He got it. Bounces back to Final Exam for their 2 pointer and directors. They decided Lon was going to take it. Mm-hmm. Who directed the 1978 Superman the movie? He got it right.
Mm-hmm.
Bounces back to D13 for their 5 pointer spy films. Oof. Who directed The Falcon and the Snowman? I mean, you could tell me that I got autocorrected there, and that's a nonsense title, and I'd believe you.
Is that the actual one?
I think so. Unless I did get autocorrected, I can't tell because that's such a ridiculous title, and I've never heard of it.
Spy films is such a like.
I'm almost afraid that I did get autocorrected.
Maybe, I don't know.
Snowman? I'll Google it later. In any case, they got it right.
Yeah.
The Falcon and the Snowman. I don't know if I got autocorrected. Mm. So it goes back to Final Exam for the 3-pointer, 1990s for Paul. Jean-Claude Van Damme was in Universal Soldier with who?
Mm-hmm.
And he missed it. But that's okay because they still have their 5-pointer, which can do it. So the 5-pointer for Final Exam, Ram-Cams. In what Judd Apatow film do the leads go to Vegas and take shrooms and whatever? They did a little repeat or whatever. They did a little conferring. They settled on Knocked Up.
Yep.
And they got it right.
Yeah.
So in a very close game, 32-33, Final Exam.
Yeah. Takes it. Yeah.
So.
And that pushes
Swag.
How many points are they behind?
Corruption
now? It's a very tight race now at the top. It's super close at the top now. Like, and just looking at this, it's like we were worried about Den at one point.
Yeah.
The exchange was it. When I say we, I mean the exchange. We were worried about Den at one point. Now we're worried about corruption. We were worried about Swag.
Mm-hmm.
Now we're worried about corruption, and it's such a tight race at the top now because everybody's like, oh, they're so far ahead. Why even has like, there's plenty of game to be played.
Yeah.
Now look where we are.
Exactly. It's like saying, oh, that's the match in round two.
Yeah, it's like come on. But people were saying that, like, what, 4 matches into, like, the season?
Calm
it's like,
down.
It's the beginning of the season. It's
calm
like
down.
It's like in football, like, your team wins in week one against a really power-hungry, like, a really well-known team.
Super Bowl.
Like, say you win against, like, the Patriots, as much as I hate them. They're a good team. Say you win against the Patriots in week one. at Foxborough, and like, oh yeah, new Super Bowl chance. Like, it's week one.
Calm down.
But this is where we're at now.
Yeah,
and it's ridiculous.
And I don't think anybody expected anything really different. So, mm-hmm.
And we certainly didn't. We were like, we can't relax because we know people are going to be coming up on us.
No, and think about it. Mm-hmm. There's still a whole singles tournament and a whole teams tournament to go.
And spectacular.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. So there's three gigantic events still mm-hmm. to happen.
Yeah.
That are going to be, the singles mm-hmm. event is huge. Yeah. The teams tournament is eight teams, whatever. Mm-hmm. And then you got the spectacular. So there's still so yeah. much to go. And nobody's now, got this in the yeah. bag.
And the loser of this, well, it's not like the Star Wars or Inner Geekdom players mm-hmm. with the tournament. With this match, it's like, oh, they lost. We don't see them anymore.
Yeah, you lose, you're out. Not Deep so 13, much here.
Deep 13, we could see them again in the teams tournament. Mm-hmm. And this one, I was kind of shocked with them because they did so well in the early on in the season. And again, they're this team that's like raw knowledge. Mm-hmm. I think you can tell that they didn't prepare a whole lot. Not to say that they weren't prepared for this.
Yeah.
They just didn't prepare like, say, Oyama would prepare for a match, or
yeah,
you know what I mean.
I'm not sure if Alonzo Duralde and Whitney Seibold study.
Yeah,
but I'm gonna go ahead and say Paulo Oyama probably studies.
Yeah,
Lon barely showed up.
Yeah, so, I love, you know, Lon's character.
I cannot get enough of Lon Harris's character. When they in the beginning of the match, when they do the whole "Are you ready? Are you ready? Are you?" and they ask Lon, "Are you ready?" and he goes, "Ready for what?" I peed my pants. I love Lon's character of the delinquent. It is brilliant. Can't get enough. And then when Christian and Mark were like, "Oh, you asking the question, he's like, "Get it together, guys." Wow. So unprepared. He's a genius.
Yeah, I'm so glad that he switched to the game. And you also said you liked Casual Paul too.
Oh, I love Casual Paul. Just giggling and chuckling mm-hmm. at Lon. I love it so yeah. much. Because I've said before, I was not a fan of Paul when he debuted. Just another sunglasses wearing, trying to be heel, you know?
Yeah, you warmed up to him at some point. But
I warmed up to him after his match against Chance.
Yeah.
I definitely warmed up to him, but I'm loving this. Oh, yeah. Casual, actually laughs at Lon's jokes. I'm loving it.
I love their dynamic. And Lon, I said, I think this character helps his gameplay because he's not as like wrapped up in acting all prim and proper. It's like, yeah. Now I get to relax and act like a
delinquent. You don't have to like think of like smart little quips to say to people, you yeah. know? You just get to almost say what is actually in your brain a little bit.
What?
I'm like, ready for what? Like, I can't get enough of Lon's character. I love it.
It's so good.
Love it.
So good. But yeah, so the final exam meets the Den next week.
Mm.
Our boy, Ben Gadded.
Rachel Silverstreamy. Heck
yeah. That's going to be a good match.
It's going to be good.
It's going to be a good match. We'll be a brand burner. So we'll get to our picks on that after we go over the next match.
So,
the main event of the throwdown.
Event. We got Ethan Big Time Irwin versus John the Outlaw Rocha.
Who's the Outlaw?
I don't know.
Two-time
probably
champ.
Like one of his first matches.
Two-time teams champion.
No, John the Legend,
the legend.
Outlaw Rocha.
Pay your respects, people.
Yeah. Obviously, we're joking. Yeah. Ethan Irwin of The Usual Suspects and John Rocha of the Finstock Exchange. Two people, two former champions. Mm-hmm. One's a current champion.
Yep.
In a different division. It's gonna be good.
It was good.
If you've made it this far and you still haven't seen Rocha Irwin,
What are you doing?
Maybe you should switch it off. Unless you want us to tell you what happens.
Mute it. Let this video play out. Give us the watch minutes.
Unless you want to know, we'll tell you. We're gonna tell you.
Yeah.
So round one. Last chance. Round one.
Oh, before we get into that, can we say the promo for this?
Oh my God, I get chills.
Amazing.
Wizard.
We got to get him on the show. God, what are we doing?
We should. What are we doing with our lives?
I'll reach out to him.
We're lazy.
Yeah.
It's just so easy to just stumble into this room and be like, you want to do Beyond the Showdown tonight? Yeah, I'm ready. It's just so easy. You know what I mean?
All right, so round one.
Ladies. Oh, I just accidentally typed.
Whoops.
All right, here we go. Round one. Erwin, he missed a question about Revenge of the Nerds.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
Roka missed a question about Boris Karloff playing Imhotep. I don't know if I'm saying that right or if I even typed it right. I don't know.
So they both missed one question.
Boris Karloff. Did I? Wow. My phone auto-corrected me to Boris Karloff.
Wow.
Boris Karloff.
Karloff.
So, yeah, at the end of round one, it was 7-7.
Tied up.
Nice, juicy tie.
No perfect rounds, but it's still impressive to only miss one question in the first round in the singles division is a great, great round.
Oh, yeah. So, round two, Ethan goes first. He gets spinner's choice. He goes with Miss Catherine Bigelow. Big old drama with his first question.
Oh, yeah, that's right. That's this question.
So his first question was about the movie Detroit. Is that what the movie was called?
Mm-hmm.
Detroit. Some riots happened in what decade? And Ethan said 60s. Mark said, I'm assuming you mean the 1960s, and that's correct. At which point, John was kind of like, Tom, what do you think here? Challenge. And they ultimately decided... Yeah, he didn't specify. Could have been the 1860s. Could have been the 1760s. You don't know. He didn't specify.
Yeah.
So they went ahead with the challenge, which, you know, I get it.
I get it. I get why they challenged it, because it's Ethan Irwin. Had this challenge went their way, it's a 4-point swing.
Would have been huge.
It was huge.
So I can't knock him
mm-hmm.
because my first reaction was like, oh, no, don't challenge that.
It's
why?
That's kind of a stretch.
Yeah.
Almost a little bit.
Because I feel like when you say the 60s or the 70s, 50s, 40s, I feel like the default is just no, you're talking about the 1900s.
Yeah.
And if you ever are talking about the 18 or 1700s you or say, whatever, you say 1860s, 1760s. Yeah. So initially I was like, oh, no, don't. But then I step back and I think about it and I'm like, I've said it before. If there's even a tiny shred of a chance to give yourself an edge,
yeah,
go for it.
Yeah, especially in a number one contender match.
A high stakes match. So
a title match too, yeah.
You know, I don't knock them for doing this. Yeah. I don't think it was a ridiculous challenge or a silly challenge or a foolish challenge. I think they thought they saw an opportunity and they went for it.
Yeah.
So I respect that completely. So the challenge came back. They ruled that Roka retains his challenge. And they were going to issue Ethan a new question, which, you know, Roka wasn't thrilled with, but it's what happened. That was the challenge. So Ethan gets a new question asked, and then, you know, Ethan just blew it out of the park. He got a perfect round.
And I think a situation like this has happened before where the announcer has led the competitor to an answer, and this is the way it's always been, where they scrap the question, give them a new one. So that's the precedent that has been set. And I think people... And also, I think what this challenge is like, we're coming off of a
challenge gate
with a tournament where like the specificity of your answer matters, and like just it's. I think there's another situation that happens later on in this match.
Are you talking about the sergeant thing?
Yes,
actually, I believe, later on in the Ethan same round too. Mm-hmm. Actually. There was a question about the Hurt Locker and like somebody's rank and the answer was sergeant. And I saw online somewhere that somebody was like, well, actually, he was a first sergeant or first class sergeant or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, it was argued that no, when you watch the movie, they never said anything but sergeant. He was only ever addressed as sergeant. In the script, he was addressed as sergeant. It is what it is. That's what it said in the shooting script or whatever it was. And the argument was made, oh, well, you know, in the military, it's very specific. You can tell what somebody is just by their attire, stripes and, you know, chevrons or whatever. But, you know, not everybody has deep military knowledge and they're going to know, oh, okay, that person's actually a sergeant, first class, you know, cadet, whatever.
Yeah, and people...
Not everybody knows that much about the military.
And people are forgetting, this is the singles division. This isn't the Star Wars division.
Exactly. If this was a Star Wars-y type question and you were talking about somebody's rank, then you know what? You got yourself a challenge.
Mm-hmm.
But if this is singles and teams, not to say that they're not specific.
Yeah.
But it's not Star Wars Nerd Geekdom where you're going off the tracks, doing extra research.
Yeah.
So.
And I think with a singles division, it's more of if it's said.
Yeah.
If it's said one way in the movie, there's your answer. And I've only seen Hurt Locker once. I barely saw it. Like I saw like the first 20 minutes of it or something. And like, I heard it's good.
I heard it was good.
But from my understanding, they only ever call him Sergeant. They never say, oh, Sergeant First Class or whatever it is.
That's what I'm hearing.
That's from what I'm hearing. It's like, all right, so that's your answer.
Yeah. So not that anybody challenged it, because nobody challenged it. But,
I think it's the fans that are like, oh, he's wrong.
Yeah. Going off of Andrew's point of the specificity of questions, I just feel like people are still reeling from IG and Star Wars that they're just like, you need to know everything and how many hairs are on the person's head and in their beard, you know?
Yeah. Everybody's still in that Star Wars mindset.
Everyone's still in that mindset of like,
you need to get the exact quote right.
Yeah.
It's like, no, we're back into normal play people.
It's interesting to see people's comments on things like that.
Yeah.
Can't do it too much because I get mad, but, you know, it is what it is. I think we started talking about that because you were talking about, you know, specificity of questions and answers and how, you know, nuanced things can get. But, you know, luckily nobody challenged that, so it wasn't a big deal.
Yeah.
But it was just an interesting thing, an interesting exchange that I saw online. Anyways.
Yeah.
Roka goes. He gets the 90s. He gets a perfect round two as well. So both of them got perfect round twos. Crazy. So at the end of round two, it was 15 to 15. Another big old juicy tie.
Big old juicy tie.
So round three, Ethan goes first. He is two-pointer, animated. Woof, as far as Ethan is concerned.
This is, his weakness.
Typically something he's not crazy about.
Yeah.
The Disney movie about an alien who forms a bond with a young girl on Earth.
Lilo and Stitch.
Never seen it, but he got it.
I haven't either, but I knew from the description.
Good for you. I mean,
it's a two-pointer, people. Come on.
I guess he was an alien.
Yeah.
I don't know.
All right, touch him or stop touching me.
Maybe one day I'll watch it. Maybe my kid's going to watch it.
That one video you showed me.
I
see your finger right there.
I got that saved. We should watch that. It's funny. So it goes to Roger for his two-pointer. He gets Thriller.
Oh, and yeah. Sorry.
Who plays, like, basically who plays the main character in Split? He got it.
Yeah, and he took all his time in this one, giving me a heart attack. Like,
John has been doing this lately, where he, like, shakes his head like he doesn't know it. I don't
mean lately. I mean lately. He's done this his entire career.
That's just John. And I know that he says, I know he's been on record saying it's not an act.
Yeah.
But it's like, bro, I can't handle it, because I was like, no, because like when they said Split, again, I haven't seen it, but I knew it was James McAvoy because the trailers were crazy. Trailers,
yeah,
but
the movie was crazy. I love that movie.
Like, taking a long time, and he seemed like he was shaking his head. I was like, oh my god, John. So you know, it drives me crazy. Like, I'm losing my mind watching it. But our boy John,
yeah.
That's what he does. That's what he does best. So Ethan's three-pointer, he gets Dance. Ugh.
Ugh, yeah.
I say ugh for Ethan.
Well, no, for anybody. Like, nope.
For anybody that's not Brianne Chandler.
Yeah.
Or Janine.
Yeah, that's like, this is the category, like, for, like, not everybody is great in this, except for like two or three people.
Yeah, a small handful of people. Maybe Stacey Howard. I don't know if she's good at dance.
I don't know.
But I know, I'm pretty sure Janine and I know Brianne dance. So he gets Dance. They mentioned like three movies and the famous dancer that danced with Fred Astaire in those movies.
Mm-hmm. You got that one.
Well, she's a super famous dancer, from back in those times.
Mm-hmm.
So he got it. The three-pointer, and I got it based on a total guess.
That's the end sometimes,
guess,
baby.
Educated guess. It's
the Stacey Howard rule, if you might.
I did it. I pulled a Stacey, baby. So three-pointer for Roka. He gets 90s. Again, the 95 film with Antonio Banderas and Salma Hayek.
Desperado.
What is that from? Or are you just singing?
I'm just singing. It's
cute.
Because it's the title of the movie.
Desperado. So Antonio Banderas.
Isn't that a song? It's a song, right? It's a song, right?
I don't think it goes like what we just sang.
No? Okay. Yeah. I'm sorry. Music's not my thing.
No, the tune we just sang sounds like a tune I learned in Spanish class in high school.
Okay.
De Colores.
I don't know.
No. Anybody?
No.
Anybody? Spanish two, high school?
I took it in high school and I took it in college. Hola, that's all I know.
Oh yeah, I took a couple of his tests for him, and
you
when he was
really
like,
helped me in that class.
I
barely squeaked through.
I did a lot of Spanish in high school, and I definitely took some of Andrew's tests for him in college. But
I love you.
It's neither here nor there. Who's keeping score? He graduated.
I graduated. Whatever.
That's all you need to know. So he got it. Roka got it. Desperado, whatever. 5-pointer to Ethan. Disney.
Ooh.
Wow.
Wow.
So what movie has the quote, "For the last time, we did not order a giant trampoline"?
This was on the tip of my brain. I was like, I know this sounds familiar because I've seen this movie like once or twice.
Not to me.
And I was like, God, it sounds so familiar.
Didn't sound familiar at all.
David Spade?
What?
That's the, what was it, Emperor's New Groove?
Emperor's New Groove.
Yeah, I think that's the right.
David
Spade? I think I'm
Tommy Boy David Spade?
Yes. I think that's right.
Maybe.
Pretty sure that's right.
Maybe. You could be.
I'm a Star Wars competitor, people. Don't hold against me.
Yeah. David Spade wasn't in Star Wars, so I don't care. So he missed it. Yeah. 5-pointer for Roka, fantasy sci-fi. In Men in Black, Will Smith says the NYPD stands for what?
Oh, God.
And Andrew was...
I was yelling at my screen. I'm like, dude, knock your punk A word down.
Beep.
Yeah. Like, come on.
Yeah.
Just yelling. Like, I was trying to incept. Can I just throw my brain power at him at this moment? Because it hurts to you can get it right here.
Yeah.
You can get it right here.
Mm-hmm.
And granted, it's like you have the safety net of overtime, but what competitor wants to go to overtime when you can win it right there?
The audience wants to see overtime, but is there any competitor that's really like, ooh, yeah.
Oh, yeah, let me miss this.
Give
go to
more
overtime.
Pressure.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Let's give the fans what they want.
Yeah. Prolong this.
Yeah. No, but
maybe there is. I don't know.
It hurt. I was like, oh, my God.
Yeah. So it was knock your punk out. What, down?
Down.
Because D.
Punk A word down.
Punk A word down.
Trying to say Sam fan apparently here, people.
Yeah. So he missed it.
Mm-hmm.
20-20. Mm-hmm. Sudden death. So they go a couple questions deep in a sudden death,
mm-hmm.
and it was heartbreaking to watch.
Yeah, because Roka had to use his repeat on the Star Trek question.
He did. It was like Chris Hemsworth's debut.
It was the J.J. Abrams Star Trek.
Yeah, and then the next question was
I can also see people whatever year that came out. It's because there's two Star Trek movies, I believe, in the franchise that are both named Star Trek, and to specify the difference between them.
Mm.
Oh, actually, is it Star Trek the motion picture? Or is it just Star Trek? Maybe that's what it is.
I feel like one is the motion picture. I think you're right.
That's probably what it is. That's why you don't have to put the year.
Yeah.
Never mind.
Probably.
Yeah.
Because, I think you're right.
So I think it was the other Star Trek. You'd have to put Star Trek the motion picture.
Yeah.
I think I'm right.
So, yeah, I think so. I don't know.
Yeah. So, anyways, he uses a repeat on that.
Yeah. So he has no more JTEs left. And then the next question, I think it was the director of Tootsie. And the thing that's so heartbreaking about it is that John had no more JTEs left.
He couldn't repeat.
He was trying to scratch something out on his board, and he goes, oh, and he was the first one to answer, because I know that I've definitely heard people say when you're the second to answer and you maybe falter a little bit, everybody always goes, well, it's just because they heard the first person say it.
Yeah.
You know, we've definitely heard that before.
Yeah.
Wonder where. So, but the good thing here is that John was the first to answer, and he was like, I was going for Sidney Pollack. This is what I wrote down.
Scribbles.
It was
just
definitely not Sidney Pollack. It was like two or three letters for Sidney and barely Pollack. I could make out the Pollack, but he said Sidney Pollack. Can you accept this? And they said no, which
can't.
I understand.
Yeah.
And it turns out Sidney Pollack was the correct answer.
And Ethan got it.
So it was, I didn't get the final score. But in any case, Ethan won.
Yeah.
And in overtime and sudden death.
Three questions in. So it's,
it sucks. Three questions in.
It sucks to lose.
It's a tough way to lose, especially when you knew the answer and you were on your way to writing it and you just couldn't JTE your way into it. It's a tough way to go.
But I think this kind of benefits. There's a benefit in this loss. It's like, I would love.
You're gonna look for a silver lining.
Yeah, if you're gonna look for a silver lining, it's like I really wanted Roka to compete for that title, possibility to become a 3-time champ, singles champ. That exchange on exchange, going for the title, so the title stays in the exchange. All that jazz.
Again.
The Roka Merle rematch for the title. Wanted to see all that, but now with this loss. We get to unleash the outlaw into the singles tournament.
It's true. Because if you're a fan of the Finstock Exchange, don't mean to, make
make this an exchange hour.
Yeah. If you're a fan of the exchange, it's you feel for John because it's a loss hurts in and of itself.
Yeah.
But it also hurts when you're like, oh, you're I was so close. Yeah. You know? But if you're going to look at a silver lining, at least now he gets the opportunity to possibly pick up
several points
in the tournament, depending on how well things go.
And the tournament wins are worth 3 points, not two.
Exactly. So the silver lining is at least now he still has a chance. It's just a longer road.
Mm-hmm.
And that longer road includes the possibility of adding points to your faction.
Yeah.
So that's silver lining for the Finstock Exchange, if that's who you're rooting for.
And points-wise, Usual Suspects is in last place. So now those points don't go to the two other factions that are right on our heels.
Yeah.
And we still have the title match with Murrow. We have the
Guy Bateman.
We also have the title match between the team styles for Murrow, for Founding Fathers, and Corruption.
Right.
So those are points that they can make. Otherwise, those are hard points to get.
And the Usual Suspects for Ethan, they need points.
They need points,
for
sure.
So this win was great for them. Mm-hmm. I think it was only a 2-point win, though.
Yeah, 2 points, because it's a regular.
But 2 points better than no points, you know what I'm saying? So he added 2 points to the Usual Suspects, and that's great for them. And now they have a shot to contend for the belt with Dan.
Mm-hmm.
So, right? Yeah, and the winner goes against the winner of Guy Bateman. It's been a real... treat having to wrap my brain around
there's
this,
so many like what if situations of the like, oh, this person plays this person goes into here if this person doesn't happen. It's like,
I don't know how you keep track of it, but you know, it loosely makes sense to me with my mush quarantine brain.
So
You know, there's Ethan, he did fantastic. He's a beast, obviously.
Oh, obviously, yeah. He's another one of those raw talent type of players.
And as far as Ethan versus Dan,
they're
both raw talent players.
Yeah, this is a rubber match. Not a rubber match. Am I using that term properly? Well, this is because they're both, when they've gone against each other twice, and they both won each time.
Ooh.
So
tiebreaker.
Yeah, so one was in a singles tournament, the other one was for the title when Merle took it off Ethan.
Mm.
And now we get to see that, all right, this is going to settle the score. Who actually is better than the other, quote unquote.
Settle the score or just start a new one.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah.
But so, yeah, that's gonna be a crazy match.
And we have not seen Dan since that exhibition match, and I'm excited to see Dan in the ring.
Which exhibition?
The champions match.
Oh yeah, that is right.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm excited. I'm nervous.
Yeah, I'm excited, and it sucks because I wanted to see Dan and IG.
I know, me too.
It's like damn.
Damn. Maybe next time. Maybe next year.
Maybe next year. If we're on the same
team.
Don't
retire, please.
I don't think
we got a lot to see.
I think Roca and Merle at least have another 2 seasons in them.
Please.
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 At the very least 2 seasons. Because Roca's probably going to play this game until he's dead.
Oh, whoa, that took a dark turn. But yeah, I mean, I could see Roca being like,
I'm done.
I'm tired. It's a lot, and it is.
Yeah.
And he's right, especially when he's playing in 2 divisions.
Yeah.
But I just feel like he's got a passion for this game that I hope just keeps him in it.
Oh yeah.
But I also, for his own well-being, I hope he does.
At
his best
the very least, I could see Roca becoming a manager and just staying in it that way.
I think he does have a true passion for this sport, and he's obviously got a flair for it. And that's an egregious understatement.
Oh, yeah.
But
like one of the first true character of the Schmodown.
Yeah.
And that's not a lie.
One of the most influential characters in the Schmodown.
Mm-hmm. I base a lot of what I do with my persona off the Outlaw.
Yeah.
But
he's not going anywhere anytime soon.
Nope.
Like when we watched this match, the match ended and we kind of had to skedaddle.
Yeah.
So we were like, we can watch the post-match interviews later.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like,
Roca
can't retire right now. He's got to defend his belt. So it's okay. And we can watch it later.
Don't worry about it.
Don't worry. He's not going to retire right now. So we'll watch it later.
And we probably would have heard about it through DMs and
exactly.
stuff.
Exactly. But yeah, I hope they stick around for a long time. But yeah, we got some crazy matches ahead of us.
Oh, yeah.
And next weekend, I want to say is Smets.
Yeah,
Chandru.
It's Smets Chandru with the undercard being
The Den.
It's, yeah.
And Final Exam.
The Pride and Final Exam.
Whoops. The Den's the faction. The Pride. And the Final Exam.
So, undercard. Who do we have?
Final Exam, Den. Pride.
Pride. Oh, you did that 3 times in a row. Again. Even after I gave you the right name.
Okay.
So, Final Exam versus the Pride.
You know, recency bias is a hell of a drug.
Yeah.
Because we just saw them do a really fantastic job against Deep 13, who's no team to sleep on.
Mm-hmm. Never mind, I'm thinking the Tom and Paul. That's who they beat.
And then was the last match for the Pride the Butcher Boys? No.
Yes.
No? Yes? I don't know.
God, it's been a long season, people.
I don't know. But the Pride's been doing, mm-hmm. they've been doing good.
Very well. They balance each other out really well.
They do.
Their chemistry is off the charts.
Mm-hmm. So I think this is going to be a tough one. I think it's going to be really close.
I'm cheering for our boy.
My heart tells me to go with the Pride.
I'm cheering for our boy, Ben Goddard.
Yeah, my heart tells me to go with the Pride.
But I am going with Final Exam.
Yeah?
Swag is on a roll right now. Swag's on a complete roll right now. And coming off of that tournament,
and this Winston's is a big real win. Tuned in.
He's very tuned in. And he's got a bit. They got both of these. It's in the same night. It's Final Exam and then Chandru. So this is a big night for Swag. So
it is.
So I have Deep 13. I have a Final Exam coming to this one because they are just looking really good right now because we hadn't seen them in a while.
I'm gonna go with the Pride.
Yeah. Not just for our mistakes or
a little both.
A little both. Yeah. Hey, and this has been the year of the upset.
Yeah.
And no knock against the Pride, but if they eke out Final Exam, I think it's a little bit of an upset because you have a former singles champion on a.
A little bit.
A little bit.
A little bit. So. I think that the word upset's been thrown around very liberally this year.
A lot, yeah.
Very liberally.
Yeah.
A tiny bit, maybe, but yeah, I'm going to go with the Pride.
So then the main event. Been itching to see this guy get back in the ring. I'm itching both of these guys to get back in the ring.
Chandru and Smets. I'm going with Smets. I don't really have to think about it too much. I don't have to think about it too much because I feel like Smets is just a friggin' machine.
That's the only apt word to describe him. He's a machine.
Yeah.
He not even just beat one of the best IG players to play the game in Spectacular last year. He not even a TKO. He knocked out Mike Kalinowski.
Yeah.
How do you bet against that? And the way we've seen him play in the exhibition matches, how do you bet against a talent like that? Smets is my guy. We talk all the time. We're part of the same rookie class that came in. We got announced at the same show. Oh, it didn't debut, but we got announced that we're going into the league. And I want to see him defend it because far the only two people to defend the IG. There's only one person to defend the IG title.
Navarro.
And it was Navarro. I want to see somebody finally get over that.
I saw somebody somewhere in social media land say that, the last defense we saw was Inman versus somebody.
Was it?
I don't know.
I don't think. No. Inman won it and then lost it to Mara. Then Mara lost it to Mike. Mm. Then Mike lost it to Rachel. Then Rachel lost it to Mike.
I don't know how you remember all this.
I'm pretty sure Navarro's the only one to have defended the IG title.
You're probably right. I just remember seeing somebody say something about Inman somebody, and I was like, oh, okay.
Inman never defended the title. But I want to
see Smets defend it. And also, knowing that he's about to have a kid, I want him to just knock it out before he gets his attention split. Yeah. Not that I think that's going to make him, not do well. Mm-hmm. It's the nature of life and responsibilities that, I just want to see him really just.
And also for.
Do it for his. For
faction standings, because this is worth more points. The dungeon is.
Yeah, if you're going to talk about it from a point standpoint, I'd like to see the dungeon win for that reason. Mm-hmm. But also, I would like to see Smets defend it because Smets has just had such a crazy run. He's so good.
Yeah.
And he's so passionate.
Mm hmm.
So, yeah, my pick's going to be Smets.
Yeah, my pick is Smets too. But I would not be surprised. I don't think it's a blowout. I think it's very competitive. I wouldn't be surprised if Chandru goes in and beats him. But I think Smets has the edge because one, machine. Two, he's a title holder. Three, Chandru has never competed in a five-rounder. And Smets has one a five rounder.
And everyone keeps saying that they think this new speed round format is really gonna really favor Smets.
Oh yeah.
So
You'll see what happens.
We'll see how it goes. But that's who my gut reaction is to pick.
Yeah. And gut reaction is pretty much what you go with most of the time.
It's what I go with. Yep. I'm wrong sometimes, but we'll see if I'm wrong this time.
Those are our picks for next week. We'll probably do the same thing. We can't just sit on these matches because if we don't, then we're not going to be talking about anything next week.
Yeah, exactly.
So with that, I think we'll end this show right here. Nikki DiMolanta, where can they find you online?
Oh, well, Twitter is where I typically do things, and I'm at Dimmy. DimmyY.
As for me, you can follow me on Twitter and Twitch at Drew DiMolanta, DimmaLanta. If you're watching this on YouTube, please like, comment, subscribe to the channel, be notified when our new videos go up. Yeah, it's over there.
I'm pointing over here like an idiot. God.
Threw me off my gate. If you're listening in audio form, go to wherever you've listened to this on. Mostly go to Apple Podcasts and rate us. Help us out tremendously. Help support. And if you want to support us other than liking and subscribing, head to the Patreon. Patreon.com/Andrew and Nikki. Become a member of the squadron. Thank you to our squadron captains, Tamor Butta, Ferris Mathana, and Josh Estes. Thank you so much for your continued support. Anything else? I don't think so.
So
with that, we will end the show. Thank you so much for joining us on this episode of Beyond the Schmodown. We'll see you
next time.